People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg. My co-host is Larry.
Good morning.
Welcome back. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too.
It has been
I missed your button.
Several
it's hard
weeks.
To say.
I missed you too. Even normally when Larry comes in, I make an immediate joke about, oh my God, here we
I'm
go.
I'm back again.
Some sort of a play on that. Like, oh, here we go again.
I know.
But today I was like, I'm not even going to do it. I'm just going to give you a hug and say hello.
That's because it's been 18 days, right?
It has been a long time. More than that. For you and I, it's been, I think
three, four weeks,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably the break I needed and made me want to see you again. So it's good. anyway, welcome back.
Happy New Year. I can't imagine that.
No, you shouldn't. You should know I'm only kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to see you. But there's, you know, it's so funny. We go, this always is the way. I don't know if you realize this. Every time we go away for a little while, we come back and there's something crazy going on. And there's like a lot of crazy going on to start 2020.
Yeah, well, let's limit it to, you know.
What?
Let's not make the whole show about crazy.
No, but what I'd like to say is when we were kids,
we already know what we don't
2020 was the Jetsons, and I thought that by 2020 we would have flying cars and cities built up in the sky.
Well, we kind of do.
Yeah,
they're still testing them, but yeah, we do.
But not like the Jetsons. It's nothing like that.
It's close though.
I thought it was going to be different.
They were looking on the phone and they were talking to each other, and
that's
it's like,
true. FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That's true.
There are some things. Dogs wear helmets now, like Astro.
Yeah, they do.
Anyway, but the point is I've never thought 2020 would be coming this fast. I think of it now as like 1990, which is, I mean, I'm sorry, 1990 was 30 years ago, right?
It's hard to believe.
And 2050 is equal time away. So 30 years in the future is 2050. 30 years ago in the past was 1990, and I don't feel like 1990 was that long ago. And I'm not that old, but it feels like you're right.
It just doesn't seem that long ago.
Wow. It's just insane. Yeah. So I wanted to talk, first of all, I want to brush over one thing, and that is this incident that happened with the assassination of a certain person has led to a lot. We're not getting into this. We'll never talk politics on the show. It's just not what
we're doing.
This
it right now.
Humanity. We're talking about people and good people. What I want to say is this: don't let the media and the bad things that happen in the world affect how you think about people around you and the environment and the good souls out there. Mm-hmm. Because what I saw happen in this past week since these Australian fires, which is going to be pretty much the premise of this whole show.
Yeah.
We want to talk a little bit about this. But what I've seen in an outpouring of love and solidarity has been unbelievable. And it made me remember at a time when everybody's talking about World War III and all this, and everybody's so nervous about what's happening, and understandably so. We all come back to the middle and we all remember we're human and everybody's the same and all the bad people kind of get blocked out and we focus on all these innocent people there and the animals that have nowhere to go and the fact that animals, species are being wiped out and we don't even know what the aftermath is going to be on this. The smoke in the air and the effect of the air quality and the climate and how it's going to affect the rest of us if this keeps going. But we're all coming together in a way that is very reassuring and it makes me feel, have some faith in humankind. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying.
And I feel like I needed to say that because I wanted to say, instead of talking about all the bad stuff, we're going to talk about what's going on there, how we can help, and really the relativity of it and how crazy it is what's happening. We looked at a map before we came on to see what was going on visually from afar, and the whole country is dealing with the fires.
So when you say country, it's
continent.
And it is. When you think about that. It's not just a country like the U.S.
Right.
We're a part of the North American continent, the U.S.
Right.
But Australia in itself, what'd you call it? Was Oceania.
Uh-huh. Oceania.
Is the continent. And the whole thing is ablaze when you think about that. That's, I mean,
yeah,
that
so
puts a little bit more in perspective.
Square kilometers, Australia is just slightly smaller than North America. Or no, I'm sorry, smaller than the United States. I think it's like 9.7. The United States is 9.7 million.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive, yes.
Are you thinking about the continent of North America?
No, because it said you could put that
United States inside of Australia.
It said that we are, but it showed Australia is 7.9 million kilometers and the United States is 9.7 or whatever it is. So I know it's bigger and however it is.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, to give you a scale, imagine if this whole country was engulfed in flames right now, essentially. That's really, and maybe aside from the middle portion, because a lot of the middle, as we know, of Australia is uninhabited. It's uninhabitable. Because it's the outback, like you said. It's violent and it's filled with animals and wildlife and unlivable climates and such. And
pretty much.
Environments, if you will. So all the people are in the big cities, Brisbane, Sydney.
Perth.
And they're all on the outskirts.
Yeah.
All around the perimeter of the country is where people live and there's not as many. So imagine all the space of the United States with only 30-something million or 24 million people. Here, we have 305 million people. So they are way consolidated into the outskirts. And the whole outskirts of that country, the whole perimeter, if you look at it, is in flames.
Mm-hmm.
The middle, there's spotty flames, but there's more animals in there than people. And those animals have nowhere to go because they are pretty much blockaded off from a lot of people, because those people wouldn't be able to live if those animals came out to where they were. So a lot of times those animals are trapped. Uh-huh. Kangaroo Island, which is like one of the biggest, it's literally one of the most kangaroos in the whole country there. And whole continent is almost like wiped out all of the kangaroos there. I think I read something that they think more than half of the kangaroo population could be affected, if not wiped out. I saw the number today of 600 plus million animals have been killed. Think about that in scale.
I saw that,
600 million. I was 580 yesterday. I'm not sure what it is today. Almost 2/3 that they know about of the koala population, whom, by the way, all koalas should be in glass cases protected somewhere. We should never let them be affected by any natural disaster.
Yeah.
Because they're the most adorable, lovable creatures
on
the
planet.
And most of them are gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's entire species, they say, are wiped out. No question that they're wiped out. We don't know the extent of the damage yet, nor will we know for a minute. But it's still happening, folks. So we need to figure out what we can do. And this is one of those incidences where it's like, even if it's $5, do it. If there's something you can do, sharing it on social media is probably good to do.
Yeah, Facebook's always a good one. So do we have some websites that you can go to?
While I pull them up, can you tell me, in your mind, mm-hmm. in scale now, we talked about the scale.
Yeah, we did.
Can you mention what I was saying, how relative?
Yeah, I mean, Greg and I were talking earlier, but he came up with like a map of, we had the, what is it, Siberia was one, Brazil was another,
mm-hmm.
then we were another one?
Us, the California fires 2018.
Okay, so which ones were those?
So it was Brazil, the Amazon.
Right.
There was the one Siberia.
Those
were all, I think Brazil was, ended up at a scale of two, we call it 2.0.
A little bit more than Brazil.
Brazil was, it was either two and 2.2, so one was a little more than the other. So
we were a little bit more than they were.
Then the Siberian one was like 4.something.
I thought there were less, I thought they were the least.
Who? No, they were a little higher. I was surprised by that. Yeah, I'll actually pull up the statistics. But at that, in relative terms,
okay.
Two for the United States, California fires here. Right now, this was 5 days ago, and that was a 12. 5 days ago. So that means that's changed a lot because it's not gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
I read yesterday that it was matter, I think it was like 6 to 8 times the size of the California combined LA and was it Paradise?
Yeah.
Fires. Six, as far as damage. And this was days ago. So, I mean, it is getting worse.
So I'm trying to think, when does their winter start?
It's the opposite of here, so I would assume that's probably going to be in like April or
exact opposite
or May, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even June. I guess June to August would be their winter. So here's how you can help. This is what the bushfires have been burning since September, which not many people realize. They started in September, have killed 25 people, destroyed 2,000 homes, killed an estimated 500 million animals. In all, about 15 million acres have burned across the country, an area roughly the size of West Virginia. Prime Minister Scott Morrison said on Monday, yesterday, the government was committed to an extra $1.4 billion towards the effort of recovery. That's just a drop in the bucket. That's $1 billion. So what could we do? The best way to help is to take a minute and learn. Like they say, you should know what you're dealing with and what's happening. But typically they have a fire season that runs from December to March, right? Which is summer months, right? Because it's opposite end. But human-caused climate change has made this year's season to be catastrophic. It lengthens the fire season, decreases precipitation, increases the temperature, and it's blazing hot over there, by the way, fueling the blazes, of course. Last year was the hottest and driest year ever in Australia, and December of this year was one of the top two hottest months in the history of the nation since it's been recorded, right? So where can you do? Fire departments in both Victoria and New South Wales, which is a beach area on the south, two of the states hardest hit by the blazes, you can donate directly to the state fire authority or local fire brigade, which needs a ton of help. Many of them are volunteer-based, actually. The donation of money is much more effective and provides more flexibility than donation of material items or pre-loved and packaged goods. For fire departments in Victoria, which has been ravaged, by the way. Look on the map at Victoria. It's like you can't even, it's covered in red. It's, I don't know what they're going to do. It's pitch black there yesterday afternoon.
I saw pictures of it yesterday.
You could donate at cfa.vic.gov.au. So it's cfa.vic.gov.au, Australia. For in South Wales, you donate at same exact thing. So it would be cfa.swa.gov.au. So South Wales, right? They're partnering with the Salvation Army now in Victoria, where they've established a fund for families and communities that have been torn apart and affected. According to the government's website, a panel will be recommended where funds are distributed, which I think is very important. They need to make sure the funds go to the right places, and you can't let people get their hands on this. They're going to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Because this is desperation. The Australian Red Cross, since July, has assisted, I think, 18,600 people affected by these fires. It started way back, obviously. They're currently supporting thousands of people in evacuation centers and recovery hubs. So you can donate to redcross.org.au. redcross.org.au. You could do donations directly on the website there. So that's easy. And Red Cross is pretty, we all know whenever you hear things going on in the world, Red Cross is the name you hear. It's pretty, they would not be in the position they are in if they weren't doing good work.
They're very reputable.
So they're also doing, there's a lot of places that are doing it for animals. There's a nonprofit there whom I know is very credible called Givit, G-I-V-I-T. They're very, very credible. They're collecting donation items requested by people affected by the fire. So like people who need beds, they need certain things, you know. But they also need, a lot of people asking for dog food, fencing materials, stuff like that. So if you might have things that could help them, that go to giveit, givit.org.au/disasters. But if you just go to giveit.org, you'll be able to see it there too. The animals are a big source of, I know a lot of celebrities are doing stuff about the animals. I've seen some pictures that had my stomach in knots. I'm sure you saw some of them too.
I did.
The kangaroos and burned, and I was just sickening to me. And I mean, I can't imagine witnessing some of the stuff I've seen. What was it? Possums that have been just burned up and still alive. Oh God. Anyway, people want to help animals, and I understand because they're pretty helpless. Over 500 million. I think the number is closer to 600 million now, including mammals, birds, and reptiles died in the bushfires in New South Wales, Sydney University, Sydney. And I guess this major ecologist had said that they are trying to catch a lot of these animals and rehabilitate them. The ones that especially koalas who are just stuck in trees, and they're just rescuing a lot of them. But what they're saying is you can actually, I'm just trying to see here. You can donate to Wires, which is a company that rescues the animals. They're not really, they're more, it's like you're giving money to get people to the space places where they can. So in other words, paying people to go help rescue these animals, giving them the resources they need.
Okay.
So Wires, wires.org.au. And then there's a koala hospital in Port Macquarie. They're accepting donations because they're treating almost all the koalas and they're the ones responsible for releasing them. They know the most about that species. So people who are really interested in koalas, you can go to koalahospital.org.au. There's zoo hospitals, zoo wildlife hospitals, Wildlife Victoria, RSPCA Australia. These are the more credible ones I'm giving you. Zoos Victoria, Kangaroo Island Wildlife Park. It's crazy. I'm looking at all these different sources. Animal Rescue Craft Guild. Anyway, celebrities are all over this right now. I saw Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban put $500,000 yesterday. Pink put $500,000. Just like, it's nice. I mean, it's nice to see this.
Yeah, no, it is.
Some of the names, Leonardo DiCaprio, Naomi Watts, Russell Crowe. What's his name? Joaquin Phoenix. So almost everybody's making this their priority right now, which I'm very happy about. And there's people asking if they can go there. That's been a big thing. A lot of people want to go. But most of the emergency response organizations require advanced training because they'd have, if you don't know the lay of the land and the dangers, it's almost.
They actually just be getting in the way.
Yeah.
They mean good, but that's just how it is.
But they say if you want to do it, you have to go to these training sessions.
Well, that makes sense.
Because most people don't understand the terrain and how dangerous it is there. It really is dangerous. Like where you would be going, if you aren't from Australia or you don't know of, you know, the hazards, it could be, life-threatening for sure. It's already life-threatening, even if it wasn't that way.
Yeah, very much so.
So, like I said, I kind of have faith in people sometimes when this stuff happens, because I think it shows that no matter how we stand politically, no matter how we stand, you know, as a person, you know, we tend to look at innocent people in desperate need. We all kind of come together.
Look at it the same way.
Yeah, doesn't matter which side you're on. We all feel guilty and bad, and we want to help. And I remember a lot when it was happening here in California.
Oh yeah,
there were times where you feel like everybody's watching, and like you know, you feel helpless, right? Because you're watching from afar, and they're like, "I hope everything's okay there." But this one's massive. I mean, the scale of this is just too crazy, too crazy. Just look at the map of our country and imagine every perimeter state being in flames. I don't get how that happened.
So this one fire, actually. Has the potential to change the weather.
For a long time.
Yeah.
They don't even know what this is going to mean to the climate there. Mm-hmm. And again.
It doesn't just affect them, though, because the winds take it around the world.
Oh, of course. Vegetation is going to be affected there. But even the trickle-down effect of, like, vegetation there being affected. They're not a country that has a whole lot of exports and
No, they're not.
Because it's hard to get there. It's far. Yeah. It's cut off from the world. So they're really local. They focus and they make a lot of money in local tourism.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess certain products, but it's going to be harder for them to sustain without tourism. And I don't know. It's going to be a long battle. I just really at this point hope they can get it under control. I know the Amazon fires were burning wild and like crazy. We had that show about it. But then it quietly got under control. Like it actually... I almost feel like it disappeared and I stopped hearing about it for a while.
Well, I mean, we always stop hearing about stuff, though.
Because some other story comes on, yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's just the way it is. But I was doing a little bit of research on this, too, not the amount that you have. But they say that there have been over 23 people arrested that they know were taking part in starting some of these fires.
I didn't know that. And so they think that this was like a malicious.
Well, I can't say how much of it was cost, but it's just like anything, you know, it's just like a cancer because here, in California, we get a wind condition. It's called Santa Ana winds or offshore winds or sundowners if you're on the coast. And people hear this on the radio or they see it on the news and automatically they go out because they take advantage of the winds.
Right.
And the winds are hot and dry and very gusty. and start all these massive fires.
Right.
We always know that. And the same thing is probably happening in Australia. Yeah. Well, we're 23.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's always sad because I heard it was mostly because of the intensely dry heat and lack of precipitation.
It is, but and it's the same thing with Santa Ana. It's because of the winds and the heat, they take advantage of that.
Right.
And so they take advantage of these conditions and make it 10 times worse.
What do they call that? It's like a powder keg almost, right?
Well,
it's just like, just
it really
like
is.
Any kind of spark.
Yep.
Terrible. It is. I mean, it also is kind of strange when you think about that. On the opposite, like as far as you can get from us is where they are. And the seasons are turned around. So here we are in like a lot of areas of the United States. It's very cold and wet and snowy.
This year it really is.
Even out here has been cold, you know.
And wet.
And wet, very wet. You forget that it's the blazing heat of summer happening over there. And you know, in my head, I'm thinking when it's like dry here, there's no rain. There's no rain chance of rain even in the summer at times, you know. So the fact that they got some rain, I think it was the day before yesterday, maybe it was Sunday, they had some rain, really did help them a little bit.
It's,
even if it just dampened the, you know, the ground and maybe prevented something. But what I really hope at this point is let's get hope they can get it under some kind of control, because once that happens, then it's less frantic. It's less frantic. It's less chaotic. And I feel like at this point, we need to stop so many. I mean, we're losing species of animals we'll never see again.
So I was going to ask you when you were talking, what are they using to fight the fires with?
I don't know. I don't know how they...
I mean, I have an idea. I mean, it's pretty universal. Wherever you can, you know, you use bombers and helicopters, of course. But on a scale like this, you're talking about, an area the size of the U.S., essentially.
Right.
That's huge. How do you fight something like that?
I mean, when...
And it's all populated.
I just can't believe, like, 500 million animals. Like, that just seems almost, like, impossible to me, right? The numbers are just skyrocketing. I'm looking at this here. I'm trying to find out more of a specific, not so much number, but a breakdown of what animals, because I know the obvious ones would be koalas and kangaroos. Everybody knows about them and talks about them. The original figure is 480 million, but they said it's definitely over 500 million. The problem is they have lost over there's a billion unaccounted for. So if we count bats, frogs, and invertebrates, they said that without any doubt, the number of animals lost tops over 1 billion. Over 1 billion would be a conservative figure. So if you're including bats, frogs, and invertebrates, right? And then he's saying being as a modest estimate because the fires have spread well beyond what they originally were. Says here, can animals just run away from raging fires? Can't birds just fly away? In many cases, particularly for birds, the answer is yes. But large animals like kangaroos or emus, many birds, of course, will be able to move away from the fires as it approaches. But it's the less mobile species and the smaller ones that depend on the forest itself that are in the firing line. Koalas, an estimated 8,000 of them have died from fires. That's 1/3 of known species. But the number is surely larger. It may be well up to 30% of the population in just that one region because 30% of their habitat has been destroyed. Other animals, let me see here. Reptiles live in the soil, so they're safe, a lot of them. They're hoping some, once they're able to locate a lot of these animals, maybe they were able to get to safety somewhere, right?
I hope so.
34 species and subspecies of mammals have become extinct in the last 100 years. That's the highest rate for any region in the world. But this is going to get worse. I know that. We know we're going to hear a lot of this. But we need to realize that most of this kind of thing happens every year. Like there's fires every year and there's things like this happening. It's a matter of being under control, and this one's not in control. So they need to get it under control, hopefully soon. I have to find out what they're doing to suppress it.
There's most of it's on foot because it would have to be anyway.
Yeah.
But I would think hopefully too that they can use a lot of aerial
Ocean water and such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're close to the ocean.
Keep an eye on that. Make your donations and be a part of it somehow. Maybe you can help out in some small way. So if we all do a little bit, it's great. And it'll maybe help things. I wanted to mention something before we leave, Lar.
Okay.
Our friends at Drivers for Survivors put out a press release yesterday, I believe it was, or January 7th. Is that yesterday? No, it's today, actually. I'm sorry.
No, you're losing it.
Drivers for Survivors is pleased to announce it has received a $2,000 grant from Share the Spirit East Bay, a program of the Bay Area news group East Bay Times, administered by the Contra Costa Crisis Center. Their funds will support volunteer companion driver programs. If you've never heard of Drivers for Survivors, they're on the show frequently. Sherry Higgs is great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They She's do family. door-through-door service for ambulatory clients who are diagnosed or have suspicious findings with cancer. They provide not only transportation, but companionship element that presents essential support, stress relief, and therapeutic presence to allow cancer patients to focus on their health and required treatments. The funds will be used for Drivers for Survivors' 7th Annual Volunteer Training and Appreciation Luncheon on February 7th at Massimo's in Fremont, which is awesome. Their volunteers are the most important element of helping this and providing this service. So congrats to them. And it's obviously another reason why it's good to donate locally to some people that are working very hard for a good cause.
Yep.
Bottom line. Is there anything else on there that you wanted to mention?
No.
All right. What about you? Anything you want to leave our listeners with this week, Lar?
I'm depressed.
I could tell.
Yeah. I wasn't when I walked in here.
I do that to you sometimes. I know.
You did it to me today.
I know.
Yeah, pray for our nation. Pray for the world. I say that, and I mean it with all my heart. I don't care what you believe. Most people believe in prayer, though, one way or another. So, and do whatever you can physically, of course, to make this world a better place to live in. That's about all I can say.
That's good.
And start the new year outright, right? Yeah. We know what the situation is in the Middle East right now, of course. I don't like talking about it, but we need to pray for those people, that part of the world, and us too. We're very much involved in that. And these fires, of course, this is going to be an ongoing thing. So however you can help humanity, go out and do it.
Yeah. And it's like I said, sometimes it's just maybe spreading the word or doing something small that you can do, because sometimes we feel overwhelmed by what we can't do.
Yeah.
So true. Just try a little something.
Yeah.
Start with something very minute and small and then watch how good it feels.
Have you ever noticed too, like if you're in a rut and if you did something, just anything to get out of that rut, whatever it might be, that you feel 1,000 times better.
100 million times.
Whatever.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm exaggerating. I had to exaggerate.
That's fine. But that's what we're talking about here. So just go out and do something. Anything helps.
All right. Thank you, Larry, for being here today.
Thank you.
I believe next week we have a guest. I want to announce, but I don't know who the actual guest is, and I don't know how they want me to reference them on the air.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold off. But we have a guest next week who's going to talk about animals, actually, wildlife preservation, and they're going to be talking about a big event that's coming up in the new year here, coming up in a couple weeks. So called Luminite.
We've also seen some stuff going back and forth with Monk's Pie. They've changed a few things around.
We're gonna get them back in here for sure.
And the other one, the LLS, the girl, I can't remember her name. She's a young girl.
Well, the worst thing you could possibly do is put me on the spot right now, because if one of us doesn't know, I'll feel guilty.
But you're the professional. I just do this as I'm trying to help you out.
You're making me look bad. That's what you tend to do sometimes.
Anyway, we've got some really
good... He'll remember. What is it? And I'm like, wait.
We've got some really good guests coming up, as always.
Oh, there's a lot of guests coming up. But thank you for joining us. And we'll next week be back with, like I said, we'll have a special guest in the studio. We want you a happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year.
And thank you, Larry. And thank you to our friends and listeners. We'll see you next week on People Helping People.